Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
As always, a pleasure to be with you here on Radio America. I am Paul Barry. Glad to have you with me here. What happened to summer? It's gone. And it's September, but with the end of summer comes good things. Among them comes something that you probably know very little about. Did you know this is the 12th annual National Life Insurance Awareness Month? So why should you care? That's what your mom and dad had, right? You should care, and I'll tell you, well, I won't tell you. Let me let J.J. Montanaro tell you. He is someone who knows quite a bit about this. He's a certified financial planner with 20 years of financial planning experience, and we're delighted to have him on the show to talk about life insurance. J.J., thanks for being with us here on the program.
Paul, it's great to be here, and I guess I'm here because, frankly, not enough people are caring, and at least that's what the surveys are showing, is less than half of Americans own an insurance policy, and clearly we think there's a much bigger need for life insurance than that.
Yeah, what's causing that, JJ? Is this kind of like the millennials saying that's old-time stuff? I mean, it seems to me that when I was growing up, you had to have life insurance, and your stats show that some 40% of Americans don't have any kind of insurance. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to prioritization. I mean, folks obviously have a lot of challenges, a lot of things right up in their faces in terms of financial challenges, bills to pay. And when you look at life insurance, even though, hey, JJ thinks it's a foundational, you know, cornerstone of your financial plan, it's not something that is really up in people's face, obviously, until something really bad happens.
And that's the point. I mean, insurance is exactly that word. It ensures that against a situation that comes up that you know little about or don't expect, that you have a way out.
Yeah, exactly, Paul. I mean, it's about avoiding a catastrophe. I mean, something happening to somebody is going to be a catastrophe, but I guess what we're really talking about is not compounding that catastrophe with a financial catastrophe.
All right, who should have insurance? Who are we talking about? Everybody? Just a few? Who would you describe as the person that needs this?
Yeah, everybody probably doesn't need it. I mean, the reality is if you've got financial obligations, you should have life insurance. And there's not a set number that just follows you through life. One of the things that you want to do is make sure that the life insurance coverage that you do have keeps pace with what's happening in your life. So what we like to remind people is, hey, anytime you have a life event, you change jobs, you buy a house, you have a child, all those things are things that could impact the amount of life insurance you should have. And so it should, when something like that happens, part of your checklist, part of the things you should look at is your life insurance coverage.
We're talking with certified financial planner J.J. Montanaro. J.J., the most common reason cited for not having a policy is that it costs too much. True, untrue?
Yeah, that is a misconception, and when you start looking at how much insurance you should have, I mean, all you have to do is look at the USDA's annual cost of raising a child report, where it's allegedly or supposedly $250,000 to raise a child without even including college. Well, when you start to get those big numbers, it can be intimidating, and you can think, you know what, I'm not going to address that because it's going to cost a lot to be able to get that type of insurance. But frankly, when you look at term insurance, and anyone out there, our military audience who's got service members group life insurance knows this, you can get term insurance for really not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So don't let that be something that holds you back from addressing your life insurance issues.
So the most important question, JJ, that a person should ask themselves in terms of dealing with this is what?
I think it's actually answering the question, how much insurance do I need?
Okay.
Or how much do I need relative to what I have? And so the cool thing about today as opposed to, you know, years ago, there are calculators out there online that are available. And also someone has to do is take 10 or 15 minutes, work their way through the calculator, determine based on their own specific circumstances how much insurance they need, and they'll answer what I think is the most important question.
All right. We also hear that the life insurance could be or should be viewed as a retirement insurance. Is that a smart thing?
Well, when you look at insurance as a whole, it's all about, you know, meeting our obligations. One of the things that a lot of people out there are trying to do is to build a nest egg. They're contributing to the thrift savings plan or to a 401k at work. They're funding IRAs. They're trying to get to a point where they're financially independent. And if something does happen to them in advance of getting to that stage, then life insurance can certainly fill the gap.
Okay, let's talk about millennials and Generation X, because everybody seems to suggest they have their own opinion of them. I think they're pretty smart and they figure things out, but maybe they're not thinking insurance or about life insurance because they think, hey, I've got a lot of time. When do you start looking for life insurance? Is there an appropriate age, or should you always start that the moment that you start making money?
Yeah, I think one of the things that typically an employer is going to offer life insurance, so that may just be a component of starting your working life, is you're going to have some life insurance. But I do think in terms of going out there and getting insurance, it really ties back or should tie back to financial obligations.
Okay.
Now, one thing that we're seeing with these...
Hold that thought just a minute. JJ, hold that thought because it's so important. Let me take a break here, pay the bill. We're talking with JJ Montanaro, who is a certified financial planner. When we come back, we'll hear that one thing that you ought to know about. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about, or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Hey, look, I don't care whether you think this is sexy or not. When we're talking about National Life Insurance Awareness Month, life insurance is important, and if you're young and you're out of school and you are, you know, you're making your way, you say, well, why would I spend money for life insurance? I got plenty of time to live. My guest, J.J. Montanaro, tells you that's not the way you should look at it, is it, J.J.?
No, I mean, I think they're like we were talking about, it's all about financial obligations, Paul. So if you have financial obligations, you should have life insurance to take care of them if something were to happen to you. And one of the big ones that's probably not readily apparent is that we've got $1 trillion-plus in student loan debt out there. And so we've got young folks that are graduating from school and with a lot of student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And that can be a big deal, especially in situations where their parents may have co-signed those student loans with them. So if something were to happen to the child or the kid or the new worker, then their parents are going to be on the line for those student loans. So I think that's something that maybe not be readily apparent, that's something they may not think about, but it may be a reason out there to look at what they have in terms of life insurance.
Okay, and what about the issue of and I guess what you're saying is that it does make sense, or at some point you can also get insurance for your parent or for your child. I mean, you don't have to just buy it for yourself. If the situation exists where you think there's a need, you look beyond yourself.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at parents or someone who's getting to that point in time where Social Security is a reality for them and they're retired, and there are reasons that you would have insurance. And typically they focus on estate planning. The example I always use is I came to USA from Northwest Missouri, but I worked with a lot of families that had farms. And so they may have had one child that was going to take over the farm, but they had three kids overall. And so they would use life insurance as a tool to provide equality or fairness, if you will. On the other hand, we have kids. If you have young children, you might have insurance for them typically through a plan or through a rider on your own policy, just to avoid a financial catastrophe if the unthinkable would happen. You want to be able to, if something bad like that would happen, I don't even like to think about it, but if something bad like that would happen, you don't want to compound bad with financially bad.
I haven't listed them out. They're all different types of life insurance policies. How do I know which policy is right for me, JJ?
Well, if you start with the reason why you're buying it, I think you're gonna land in a good place. So there are two broad categories of insurance. You've got term insurance and you've got permanent. So term insurance, typically it could be called 10-year term, 20-year term, even 30-year term. But with term insurance, you basically have pure insurance. You pay a premium and you get a death benefit if something happens to you. At the end of that term, you have to go get a new policy, or maybe you'll see the premium go up or the benefit go down. But term insurance is ideal for most of the reasons people have insurance, because most of those reasons are going to go away. The mortgage is going to get paid off. The kids are going to get through college and be financially independent. You're going to accumulate a nest egg for retirement. So you're going to get to the point where you don't need that life insurance coverage for that reason anymore. And so that's where I think term fits.
Okay.
So again, if you start with a reason, there could be reasons why you have permanent coverage too, Paul.
Okay. Does it make sense to have both, to say, okay, I'm going to buy life and term, or is that a redundancy that's not necessary?
Well, it depends on the situation. I have a lot of folks that I've worked with, and I myself have both types of coverage.
Okay.
But for example, if you're retiring from the military and you decide to replace a survivor benefit plan with life insurance coverage, I don't necessarily think that's a good idea, but if I was going to do it, I would do it with permanent coverage, because I want a policy that's going to be there, not for the next 10 years or 20 years. I want a policy that's going to be there forever. And so if I had a special needs child and I wanted to fund a trust for their benefit, then I would use a permanent policy. Because, again, it's not coverage that's temporary.
Right.
It's coverage that I want forever.
Well, you know, we think of health insurance important, automotive insurance is important, but I think you're saying life insurance is just as important, that coverage. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually another one of the foundational elements of our plan.
All right, we'll be right back. I'm talking with J.J. Montanaro. Folks, what he's talking about is important to you. Listen to him. And if you haven't thought about this, find out what you need to know about life insurance. When we come back, we'll talk with J.J. about more, about the things that are important around life insurance for you and the ones you love. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance here on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. My guest is J.J. Montanaro, who is a certified financial planner, and we're talking about the 12th annual National Life Insurance Awareness Month. September is Life Insurance Awareness Month. Now, why would somebody do that? Folks, they would do it because it's so vitally important. And J.J. has explained to you, among other things, why you ought to make sure that you are properly insured, whether it be life, whether it be term. You wouldn't walk around without health insurance, would you? You certainly wouldn't drive your car without automotive insurance. Why do you live your life without life insurance?
All of those things can prevent a disaster, and that's what really insurance is all about, is preventing a financial catastrophe. So I think whichever one you're looking at, they all probably play an important part in somebody's protection plan.
All right. Look, I'm 35 years old. I got one kid, married, got a job. But I think it's going to cost too much to have term insurance. Give me an idea. Are we talking about $1,000 a month? Are we talking about a couple hundred? So people have – I want them to go find or see somebody. So tell me what would that – and I know I'm not holding you to the number, but what are we talking about? Give me a ballpark.
Yeah. Now, so one thing that folks do need to understand is that life insurance, when you go through the process to get life insurance, there are going to be health questions, and you're going to be much better off and get a better premium or a lower premium if you're healthy and you meet the height weight standards of the insurance company. So it's important to note that. But if you look at somebody who's healthy and 35, you can get $250,000 of coverage, and maybe it only costs, you know, $20 a month for a 10-year term policy. So that, I think, is the eye-opener for a lot of people. This doesn't cost a lot to get the type of coverage I might need.
Yeah, and I'm saying to folks, check it out. You know, don't think you know. Know that you know, because you've gone to experts like J.J. and others who can help you. Now, J.J., let's talk for a moment about the annual premiums. Do they go up or do they go down? What happens?
So with those level term policies that we've been talking about primarily, the amount of the premium and the death benefit, if something were to happen to you, will stay the same for that period. So if you buy a 10-year term policy, you'll have the same premium and same death benefit for the 10 years. But there's also 20-year term and even 30-year term. So depending on which term you pick, you can count on the same premium and the same amount of benefit for that period. After that, then you'll have to go get a new policy, or perhaps you'll see rising premium.
Okay. Is it a good idea to buy this through my employer?
I'm all about insurance, Paul. So having the right amount of insurance, you know, and your employer typically makes it easier for our military listeners. They have service members group life insurance where they have $400,000 of coverage and up to $100,000 for the non-military spouse. And so that's an easy way to get a base amount of coverage. And if you're just starting out, hey, that might be enough. Mm-hmm. But as your life changes and your needs change, then you will probably have to look elsewhere. The other thing I always warn people is if you've got all your eggs in terms of your coverage in your employer basket, then what happens when you leave, you know, when you go to a different job? And that's just something you need to plan around.
All right, which brings up the question, how often should I check to make sure that I've got my coverages up to speed, is what I need, is the right amount? How often should I go in there and just kind of, you know, peruse my insurance and look at it?
Yeah, that's right on the mark, Paul. I think the big thing is, I don't know if I'd put a timeline on it. I would actually just put it on my list of things to do whenever something big happens. So I change jobs, have a child, buy a house, retire. All those major life events are probably going to result in the need to relook at your life insurance. So I think if you use those as a trigger to relook at your life insurance, you'll be in good stead.
Okay. Now, have we figured out why the buying of life insurance has decreased so great? What's going on? Is it just that we just... Do we know?
I mean, that survey that we were talking about, basically it indicated that people were using their money for more in-your-face type purposes, whether it was entertainment or just getting by, because there's no doubt that paying the bills and meeting their monthly expenses can be a challenge. But there was also a lot of discussion about, hey, going out for entertainment and just using the money on stuff that maybe is more tangible immediately.
And no one insurance policy, a company, is better than the other. Those that are legitimate, they all do a good job, don't they?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you do want to look at when you buy insurance is you want to look at the financial strength of the company, because ultimately it's the company that you need them to be there when you need that protection, when something bad happens. So you want a financially strong insurance company for sure.
Certified financial planner J.J. Montanaro takes time from a busy schedule to join us here on Home and Family Finance. J.J., thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate having you on the show.
Paul, thanks for having me, and take care.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Folks, what else can I say? I mean, I give you this information. Go and do the right thing. Check out your insurance. When we come back, we're going to talk more about consumers being in trouble when bad things happen. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And always a pleasure to help you get through the issues that relate to our financial planning. Did you know that most of us, when asked what are the things that we're most stressed about, the things that we're most stressed about are our financial situation. It is the root cause of a lot of divorces. Husbands and wives not properly prepared to talk about, understand, or deal with money matters, and those money matters can destroy a relationship. Being honest about talking about money matters, we just weren't trained that way. So you got to think about that. You go into the military and you have very little training, and you make some money, and you may be separated. It's a sure place to find problems if you're not careful. Defense credit unions have been serving our U.S. military since 1928, and they know that. That's why they have incitations right on the basis. As nonprofit financial institutions, defense credit unions don't have stockholders to answer to. They have you, our member owners. It means lower fees, better rates, and always community-based, so defense credit unions understand the financial needs and challenges of a highly mobile membership. And because we are where you are, there's no need to walk outside the gate for services. When you need a small dollar loan or just some real straight-up financial counseling, some good advice, somebody that's not trying to rip you off, go see your credit union. Of course, we have all of the other standard products and services, like savings and checking accounts, auto loans, ATMs, online banking. You need it, they have it, and they're willing to help you out. For Department of Defense civilians, service members, retirees, National Guard, reserves, and their families, defense credit unions are there for you at all stages of your active career and beyond. You're not sure what to do next? You've got a problem? You're not in this by yourself, folks. Go to your defense credit union. Sit down and say, look, help, here's where I am. I need your help. Go to dcuc.org to find your nearest defense credit union today. Do that, and I assure you, you'll be a happy camper. Now, speaking about dollars and cents and the impact it has on our lives or can have if you're not financially prepared, I got a note in from a good friend over at an organization that you should know about as well. Because the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC, encourages consumers to be financially prepared always, and especially as we hit the height of hurricane season right now here in September. You know there are three or four hurricanes out there somewhere, and it could get worse. But financially unprepared consumers are among the most vulnerable when disaster strikes. So says my guest, Brooke McClary, who is keenly involved with this organization. He is vice president of their outreach, and he joins me now because he alerted me to this fact. Bruce, nice to have you here on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Paul. And it's a timely topic to be talking about when thinking about being prepared financially and the impact that natural disasters have. And we're coming up on the peak of hurricane season. September 10th and 11th typically recognized as that height of hurricane season. Right. And those are the kind of natural disasters that we benefit from a lot of advance notice for, so we can see them coming and we can get things together and we can get out of town. But not all disasters, not all natural disasters come with that level of advance warning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's important to be prepared financially for whatever comes our way, regardless of whether it's a hurricane or maybe a earthquake or some other type of occurrence.
Yeah. We talked earlier in the show about with J.J. Montanaro, who's a certified financial planner. We talked about life insurance, which is important. But it's also important to make sure that you have the insurance coverage that can take care of the kind of crisis that can befall you. Talk about that.
Well, true, and there are all kinds of different insurances that you can get to protect not just your life, but your property, and all of the things that you hold dear. So it's important to before any kind of natural disaster strikes, really take an inventory of the existing coverage that you have and take a hard look at what you might need to fill in some blanks as far as things that may not be covered. And you could be surprised, really, about how limited the basic coverage is that's offered through some of these insurers, and how you may need to add some things in to account for certain types of events that happen during a natural disaster. So you really need to do an inventory, a thorough inventory of your insurance coverage to see if you're properly protected for things like flooding, wind and hail, those kinds of things that come along with these natural disasters. Yeah. And flood insurance is often overlooked, really, in some of these situations, and people find themselves short. All you have to do is take a look at what happened during Superstorm Sandy. Yeah. On the New Jersey coast to see how people were, still suffering,
Bruce. I mean, because they were not adequately insured. Even today, years later, people are still suffering and some are still without their homes. So it's important to take a look at these things when you can and make sure that you have what you think you're going to need.
Right. And even and not in terms of just the structure, the house itself, or, of course, you know, obviously your life insurance, which is very important. to be able to provide for your loved ones and those you care about in the event something tragic were to happen. But there are things inside your home that may need replacement, so it's important to look at the coverage. And if you have full replacement cost coverage, that's fine, because you should have that instead of the cash value coverage, because some of the things in your house depreciate in value. So you want to get the most back so you can replace those items that might be destroyed.
It just makes sense, folks. What we're saying here is you know, check your policy. Make sure what you're getting works for you. When we come back, Bruce is going to talk about some other things that you need to do. How about gasoline in your car? How about cash? How about renting a safe deposit box? How about, you know, being prepared by notifying the credit bureau? All of this coming up next from Home and Family Finance. Brooke McClary is my guest, and we'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Bruce McClary. He is the Vice President with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC, founded back in 1951. It is the nation's largest and longest-serving national nonprofit financial counseling organization. We're talking about the fact that you are just simply not ready for a disaster unless you have checked on things. For instance, you should know that you need to fill up your tank when you hear about a disaster, so you don't have to, you know, go out and get into the inevitable long lines and the potential of the stations running out of fuel. So make sure you're filled up. Have some money at home. Access to ready cash. You may have to leave town in a hurry. Sometimes the ATM machines and debit and charge machines are inactive, folks. You can't get money out. But have a stash at home. Don't go crazy. I'm not talking about $1 million. I'm talking about have $1,000 stuck someplace so that you can take care of the things that you need. And Bruce, renting a safety deposit box, why is that a good idea?
It's at your credit union or other financial institution. The items in there are insured and they're protected, and it gives you an opportunity to get the important items, copies of documents, original documents, important papers, financial information, medical records, in prescription drug information, insurance policies. It gives you the opportunity to put all of that in a off-site, secure location away from your home, because if something happens to your home and your home is completely destroyed, if you're keeping a lot of those things inside your home, they too could also be destroyed, and you may be left without that important information at a time when you need it the most.
And you talk about putting that key in a place where it can be found in case of an evacuation. So think that through and put your key someplace where you can get to it. You say it's also necessary to stop some bills. Why?
Well, you may have to live away from your residence if there's been significant damage and it becomes uninhabitable. So it's important to make sure that the utility companies are notified that the residence is uninhabitable, so you're not billed for service that you're not receiving. And it's also important as well for others, especially if you're not there to be able to receive mail at that location, to notify some of the other places where you receive regular billing, to let them know how to get in touch with you, so you can stay on top of those bills and you can stay in touch with those services and your creditors, and especially your creditors. It's very important to let them know what's going on, not just afterwards, but before something happens, if you have enough lead time to know what's coming, to keep them in the know, and they may be able to work with you to help you avoid falling behind on your payment.
You know, I never thought about notifying the three credit bureaus and the Federal Trade Commission, but that's a good idea, isn't it?
It's a very good idea. It's very relevant, and you can put you can even add a notice on your credit reporting on your three credit reports from TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. You can put a statement on there, letting other people know who are looking at your credit report that the place where you live has been affected by a natural disaster that may cause some issues in keeping up with timely payments and other aspects of the of the creditors that you owe. So it's critically important to do that.
Bruce, I hear what you're saying, but let's face it. You're talking about somebody else. This is never going to happen to me. Come on, Bruce. This, not me. This happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me.
Well, the unexpected can happen anywhere at any time, and I think one really good visual, if people need a wake-up call to see exactly how they can be affected by natural disaster, all you have to do is go on Google and search natural disaster map, and there are some websites that show what parts of the country are likely to face different types of natural disasters, and you look at that map and you see that most of the entire country is susceptible to some type of natural disaster, and many of these are very unexpected. An earthquake can come with no notice. Just ask people who were around the Washington, D.C. area several years ago. You never know, and it can happen in places where you least expect it. So it's better to be prepared as much as possible ahead of time, especially financially, so that when it happens, you can focus on other things besides worrying about whether or not you have enough money to take care of things, and you can start worrying about securing your own life and the safety of those around you.
And that, of course, the only thing that costs and in the long run saves is a little bit of your time. It doesn't cost you money to be prepared beforehand. It's just wise, because if you do that and you are prepared, boy, the benefits of that, you really do benefit later on, don't you?
You do, and you may be at a point also where you may be thinking, well, it's impossible for me to start thinking about that right now because I'm knee-deep in debt and I can't see my way past this. So that's the moment when you really should reach out to a nonprofit credit counselor through the NFCC at nfcc.org and start having a conversation of getting the debt out of the way, so you can start putting aside money, have that savings ready for some type of a natural disaster, and be able to afford the appropriate kind of coverage you need on the insurance side to make sure that you're protected there as well.
You talk about also in the list of important things to do that I received from you, and thank you very much for the list, because it really got me to thinking about, hey, have I taken care of this? You talk about many employers offer access to an employee assistance program. What is that?
Yes, an employee assistance program, or an EAP, is a benefit offered by a lot of employers, and it gives employees access to advice and counseling on any number of issues that they may be facing. And these can be issues that related to dealing with different situations family members are facing, making it through an illness, finding services that are appropriate to care, all kinds of different services and counseling available through these employee assistance programs. But in the aftermath of a natural disaster, these employee assistance programs can also help connect you to resources that you may not have been aware of. And if you need to start applying for coverage from FEMA or any other, work out other insurance issues or things like that, they can be very useful.
We're talking with Bruce McClary. When we come back, you are not in this alone. We'll talk about his organization and how it can be helpful to you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I'm your host, Paul Berry, and my guest is Bruce McClary. He is with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And when I say to you, you're not alone, I say that with a certain amount of security, because this organization, since 1951, has been in place. It is a nonprofit financial counseling organization. They are nationwide. So if you're listening to the program, wherever you may be listening, you have access to Bruce. Well, tell us where you're located and what people need to do in terms of seeking help through you and how they should arrange that.
Well, Paul, NFCC member agencies are located in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. And there are 77 member agencies with over 600 locations and communities across that area. So it's easy to find an NFCC member nonprofit counseling center in your area, wherever you happen to be throughout the United States or in Puerto Rico. And there are so many different services offered at no or low cost through these counseling centers. And they can be offered in person if you want to go and talk to a counselor and have a face-to-face meeting. They're offered over the phone and over the internet. And the easiest way to connect with a counselor at any of these member agencies is to go to nfcc.org. That's nfcc.org online, and you can look up an agency near you, or you can call toll-free 1-800-388-2227. That's 1-800-388-2227. And you can connect with an agency near you and access some of the services. And they offer budget counseling, credit counseling, housing counseling. The NFCC members are HUD approved for housing counseling, student loan debt counseling, which is very much in demand right now. And they offer debt management plans for repaying credit cards and different creditors. And they offer other financial education as well as credit report reviews.
Folks, it's
a lot
right,
of different services.
It's right there. It's right there for you. I get letters all the time. Well, what about this? And who's going? This is they're in place to help you, and you've got to be smart enough to say, okay, I get this. How much money do I have to put up front in order to contact you and have you do something for me?
Well, making the call is free, and as I mentioned, most of the services are available at low or no cost. A lot of the centers offer counseling, budget counseling, and credit counseling for free. And if it is a situation where you have to pay for a service, we make sure that it's something that is affordable within your budget. Yeah. And if you don't have the means to pay a fee associated with a service, those fees are waived.
Don't cost you nothing, honey. You just got to get there and say to the folks, hey, look, I need help. First of all, let me thank you and the organizations and in all 50 states for being there, Bruce, because I think it's so important that people understand that when they do feel overwhelmed, that they can find relief through an NFCC member agency. That's why I have Bruce on the program, folks, because their agency is out there and they do exactly what they say. If you got to make a critical financial decision, which is never easy, but prepare for it. Or you're recovering from an emergency situation, be prepared. Make a call to them, and they will help you out very much. Disasters are going to happen all the time, Bruce. So in this case, what you're saying is that instead of it taking a significant impact on a life, there's somebody out there that's willing to help.
Right, and you don't want a natural disaster to lead to a financial disaster. So it's important to start planning ahead. And whether you're planning to be prepared for a natural disaster or whether you have financial goals you want to reach and you just don't understand how you can get there, an NFCC member agency can help you start that journey and make that roadmap that can get you to those financial goals.
Okay. And again, if I need to reach out to you wherever I might be, what is your website that I can go to check you out?
It's nfcc.org. That NFCC stands for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. And it's easy to find online. There are a lot of resources on the website itself. So if you want to look around, there's some good info there as well as a way to connect to a counselor.
And don't let your pride get in your way of your common sense. All of us from time to time run into financial problems. I do. You do. We all do in some form or fashion. The issue as Bruce just points out, don't let that lead to a disaster that is overwhelming, that you can't overcome. Make the call to Bruce's organization and get some help because they're out there for you and it can save you in more ways than one. Bruce, thanks again for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. Next time, I'd like to have you come in studio and join me. Will you do that?
It'd be fantastic, Paul. I look forward to that.
All right. Bruce McClary, Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Thank you so much for being with us today, sir. All right, folks. I guess that kind of wraps things up. We have a surprise guest here who sends, I can't believe Bruce Shirley has joined us. We didn't know that was going to happen, making Al Peterson very happy in the technical book. Me too, as well. Hope it made you happy today in terms of what you heard. We'll be here next week looking for you. Will you be here? I'll be here. Please join us. This is Paul Berry, Home and Family Finance on Radio America.